You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network.
You're listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. Come on, Dolphins fans. Time to fins up.
Miami's got the Dolphins, the greatest football team. We take the ball from goal to goal like no one's ever seen.
Good morning, Miami Dolphins fans. How are you today? And thank you for listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily on this Tuesday, September the 22nd. I am your host, Mike, and, you know, we're a couple days here removed from the Miami Dolphins' loss to the Buffalo Bills on Sunday afternoon in a game I think they clearly should have won. You know, the more I think about that game since that game ended, the more sort of frustrated I get in that, you know, they took over the lead and they had all the momentum in that game at the start of the fourth quarter, and they just gave the game away. They really did. They just lay down. As soon as they got that lead at the start of the fourth quarter, they just lay down and let the Bills just walk all over them, and they gave away that game. And in this league, you know, you can't give away games. And you can't give away games when you have a lead at home in the fourth quarter. You just can't. You can't do it. Those games are tough to swallow. Those are the ones that'll keep a head coach up at night. Those are the games that'll have an owner, you know, not happy, let's just say. So when we talk about this Miami Dolphins team in 2020, there's a couple things to think about here. And the one thing is, yes, they are a very young team, but that's the team they decided to build. So, you know, the excuse that, well, this is a young team, they need time to grow, they need time to gel, blah, 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 all the same old excuses that we always hear. This is the team they decided to put together, the Dolphins, okay? Chris Greer, Brian Flores and company, they put this team together. So it's tough to run to the excuse that, you know, they didn't have any preseason games. Guess what? No team did, okay? No team did. So that's not a valid excuse. Now, I understand that the Miami Dolphins have many free agents that they're trying to implement. They have many rookies they're trying to implement. They brought in two new coordinators into the system. But guess what? Those are all choices they decided to make. Okay, no one forced them to do any of those things. They decided to make them. So to now use that as an excuse, it doesn't fly with me. It just doesn't. And, you know, once again, when it comes to the age of the team, I always feel, I understand that they want to get young. And it makes perfect sense. Long-term, big picture plan, you want to get this team young. You want to draft guys. You want to develop guys in your system. And you want them, you know, brought up in your system. And that makes all the sense in the world. I'm totally on board. But it's not against the rules, you know, to have one or two guys. Just one or two. I'm not talking about six. I'm not talking about seven. One or two guys over the age of 30 on your roster. Have a couple of veterans who have been around the block a time or two who can, you know, be that common voice in the locker room, sort of be that veteran presence. You know, they do have some guys like Shaq Lawson, Emmanuel Agbaje, Kyle Vannoy, you know, who've been in the league for a bit and are what you would call veterans. But once again, they're all under the age of 30, okay? And it's not against the rules to have a couple veterans in this locker room, not even necessarily for what they can add on the field, although you like to have guys who can also play, just guys who can sort of be leaders on this team. This team is so young, and there's so many new pieces, and there's so many new coaches. It's like, this is, you know, well, I think they should have won the game Sunday. This also isn't totally unexpected. And there does come a point. There does come a point where you have to question some of the choices this head coach has made. You just do. I know we all love Brian Flores. We think, you know, we all love how he sort of is a leader of men. He's the polar opposite of Adam Gase. How, you know, he holds himself accountable at times, the way the players respect him, the way the players play hard for him, and sort of the way he just carries himself as a professional, both on and off the field. Those are all great things. But in the NFL, you get judged by only one thing as a head coach. Wins and losses. And Brian Flores just doesn't win enough games. And look, I know you're going to say, Mike, it's only two games into the season. Give it a break. Give it a break. Calm down. Calm down. Don't hit the panic button. You're right. And I'm not hitting the panic button. But, you know, he won five games last year in 2019. I know some fans are happy with that. And I guess with the roster they had, I guess maybe we should be happy with that. But this game on Sunday is a game he can't lose. Once again, at home, with the lead, in the fourth quarter. Can't lose that game. You got to find a way as a head coach to manage that final quarter and bring home a win. Especially when the issues with the team is on defense. And you are a supposedly a defensive guru, defensive specialist, pick your title, all that stuff. You know, that's what makes this loss so frustrating. I think it's a brutal loss. I think you can pin this one on the head coach. And, you know, there's a few things here that you have to question. And I know it sounds like I'm starting off this podcast very negative, and I don't want to come off that way because I am going to talk about a lot of the positives here. I am. But I got to start off with here because this loss on Sunday was not good, folks. And I know there's a lot of fans. I often say there's fans of the Miami Dolphins who would rather climb a tree and tell themselves a lie than just stand on the ground and admit the obvious. And sometimes it's okay. You can still be a fan of this team. But just stand on the ground and admit the obvious. And here's one thing that's very obvious. Bobby McCain can't play safety. And, you know, we're trying it again this year. And so far through two games, it's not working. Sunday, Bobby McCain was atrocious playing safety. He just was. And if you don't believe me, go to my Twitter feed at Dolphins Talk. And Dante Colonelli, one of our writers here at the website, and he's also one of the co-hosts of the Sunday morning pregame show we have on the website, broke down the film. And he's got the film right up there on my Twitter account, on his Twitter account. Check it out. And he shows where Bobby McCain is out of position. He's lost. Seems like he doesn't know what he's doing. And this is the same guy who last year, you know, struggled at times last year at safety, missed games because he got hurt at times at safety. His body's not built to be a safety. And I don't think he understands the position either. It's just not working. And there does come a point where you have to admit this isn't working. And I don't need to see, once again, like I always say, I don't need to be, you know, Vince Lombardi. I don't need to be, you know, watch 100 hours of film, of the All-22 film, and this, that, and the other. You can just, you know, watch a guy play and just know he can't play. When he was a cornerback, when he was our nickel cornerback, he was fantastic. He got a big payday because he was a good nickel cornerback. I think for a short period of time, he was the highest paid nickel cornerback in the league when he signed his deal. And he deserved it because that's where he excels. He doesn't excel at safety. And the fact that this coaching staff, for the second year in a row, continues to try to play him at safety, where last year he was only able to play 9 games before his body broke down, and this year, through 2 games, just looks lost. It makes no sense. And if Byron Jones is out for an extended period of time, which we all hope is not the case, because if it is, we're in trouble. But if he's got to miss multiple weeks, you know, I know it's not going to happen, but move Bobby McCain back to corner, play Brandon Jones at safety, and let's just end the experiment, because we need more help at corner if there's no Jones, and I think Brandon Jones at safety can actually work. So I know it's not going to happen, but that's sort of my wish, and I think that's actually the smart thing to do, but with this staff, they're kind of hard-headed on stuff like this, so I don't expect to see that. The other player who I sort of got to call out here is Nick Needham. You know, in 2019, everyone was sort of, you know, drinking the bathwater of Nick Needham. Nick Needham this, Nick Needham that. Oh my God, Nick Needham. We found somebody, Nick Needham. Week 1, he got 0 snaps. And everyone was like, what's going on? Nick Needham played well at the end of last year. How come he's not on the field for no snaps? Well, watch the game. Did you watch the game Sunday? Nick Needham was used and abused the entire day. And now we know why he didn't get any snaps in week 1. And, you know, It was very bad. I mean, there's guys who have off days, guys who have a bad day. And then there's Nick Needham who had Sunday, which is worse than that. I mean, he stunk on toast. I mean, it was terrible. And if he has more games like that here in the upcoming weeks, they got a problem, the Miami Dolphins, especially once again if Jones is out. So just a couple guys there in the secondary I wanted to sort of mention, because that secondary, we all went into the year thinking that's one unit we don't have to worry about. And I know the injury to Jones is not something you can predict, not something you can plan for, but when it happened, it was like a house of cards that fell apart. The entire secondary, their play went straight down the toilet. Nick Needham looked overmatched. Bobby McCain out of position. And it just was so bad. It was so bad. So, you know, you got a question here what they're doing on defense, because whatever they're doing is not working. It's not working, folks. You had week one, you had a team like the Patriots run for 217 yards. Week two, you have a team in the Bills, not known to be an offensive juggernaut by any stretch of the imagination, throw for 417 and run for over 100. And I'm sure the Bills, if they wanted to, you know, just turn and hand off the entire game, they probably would have ran for over 200 yards and won the game that way. This defense isn't getting the job done. And they spent a lot of money on this side of the ball. Kyle Vannoy, Shaq Lawson, Emmanuel Ogbah. Big money. Jones. I know he got hurt. Can't really blame him. Big money. And these guys are giving them nothing. And I know people are going to say it's just two games. They're giving them nothing. They had guys last year who nobody even knew who they were. They made plays. These guys aren't making plays right now. And it's very frustrating to watch. But there are some positives here. And I do want to talk about the positives with the Dolphins. And one of the biggest positives that, you know, makes my heart pitter-patter is this offensive line play has been pretty damn impressive through 2 weeks. They really have. When you have guys like Miles Gaskin, averaged 6.6 yards a carry. When you have guys like Matt Breida, I think he averaged 5.3 yards per carry on Sunday. A big part of that is because this offensive line's run blocking well. This offensive line is really playing well. Also, when you talk about the pass blocking, you know, they gave up one sack week one. You can live with that. And this past Sunday, they gave up three. But you also have to consider Ryan Fitzpatrick dropped back to pass 47 times. And when you do, you know, to me, when you're asking a quarterback to drop back 47 times, obviously that means it's more than normal. And there's more than a normal chance you will give up more sacks. So the fact he only gave up three, I'm not going to be upset by that. And, you know, the two young rookies, Solomon Kinley and Austin Jackson, have played really well. They really have. I can't give them enough credit. I can't heap enough credit onto them. I can't even put it into words. I am really impressed with both of those young guys who have come in as rookies and just sort of have more than held their own. More. Now, sure, there's been times Austin Jackson's been beat on a few plays really badly. It's okay. It's going to happen. He's a rookie. It's going to happen. But overall, there's more ups than downs. There's way more good than bad. And this offensive line unit overall is not a problem right now. And this is the first time we've been able to say this in God knows how many years. And it also looks promising for the future because, you know, those two guys are young. Eric Flowers, you know, he's playing well. He's a younger guy. He ain't going nowhere. So the pieces now, we're starting to put together the pieces of an offensive line that'll hopefully be here for years to come. And I cannot say enough positive things. The offensive line is trending in the right direction. And that is one of the most positive things and one of the things that make me so happy here through the first two games, even with two losses. It does make me happy. Some of the other positives on offense right now, Mike Gesicki. I mean, this is the guy we wanted. This is the guy we had hoped for. This is the guy who we, you know, wanted to be an elite number one threat in the passing game at tight end. And I got to find the stat. Give me 2 seconds here as I'm not prepared. What's the stat I saw? Give credit here to Adam Levitin from Establish the Run. And he found the stat from tight end Mike Gesicki through 2 games this year. Lined up in the slot or at wide receiver on 92% of his snaps. Ran a route on 63 of Ryan Fitzpatrick's 87 dropbacks. Has a team high 20.7 target share. And facing two very good defenses through 2 weeks. 11 receptions, 160 yards, and one touchdown. Mike Gesicki, you're becoming the man. This is what we want at tight end. You are becoming the man. You took a big leap from year one to year two. And so far through two games, it looks like you're about to take another leap from year two to year three. And this is the type of progression that the Miami Dolphins need out of high draft picks. Guys, you take in rounds one, two, and three. Yes, every round is important in the draft, but you cannot misfire on guys in rounds one, two, and three. You need them to be big-time contributors. And Mike Gesicki right now has gotten better from year one to year two to year three, and he's turning into a big-time contributor, and there's nothing negative to say about Mike Gesicki at all. Miles Gaskin, another guy. And, you know, I know they went out this offseason and spent money on Jordan Howard. I know they made the trade for Matt Breida. Miles Gaskin is the best running back on the Miami Dolphins as of right now. And I don't see a change in any time soon. I really don't. And for where did they take Gaskin? Round seven, I believe. You know, he is performing, overperforming where they drafted him. And once again, a sign of a team that is sort of rebuilding is you find guys, you know, in those middle to late rounds, and you get more out of them than you expected. And with Miles Gaskin, through two games, he's been fantastic. He's been stellar. He's been tremendous. So, while there are a lot of negatives that I sort of harped on at the first part of the podcast, I'm not blind to the positives. And there are positives. And most of the positives are on offense. Isaiah Ford had a heck of a game on Sunday. And, you know, week one, the Patriots have an elite secondary. The Miami Dolphins, their offense never got going. I'll give him a pass there. But the way he ended 2019 and what we saw on Sunday, if he can continue to play like that and build like that, there's no doubt in my mind he will have a job with the Miami Dolphins for years to come. You know, he might never be more than a fourth wide receiver or so, but so who cares? That's fine. We need a fourth wide receiver who can play. And if Isaiah Ford fills that role, great. Once again, for where they drafted him in round seven, that's fine. And right now, he's playing well. Overall, this Miami Dolphins offense, I'm liking a lot of the things I'm seeing. Is it perfect? No, of course it's not perfect. Is it where it needs to be? No, of course not. They need to finish more drives with touchdowns and not settle for field goals. There's still a lot to work on. But overall, there's a lot of positives there. The issues that I sort of am mentioning, though, that is the frustrating part, is the accountability with the head coach and, of course, the defense. This defense right now cannot stop anybody, and it's fair to criticize them. This head coach right now is fair to be questioned. You do not get a free pass in this league for 2 years. He got a free pass in 2019. He's not going to get a free pass in 2020. And, you know, this is his second year as a head coach, and he's already on his second offensive coordinator, and he's already on his second defensive coordinator. If this season goes south fast, and if you look at their schedule, they're 0-2, traveling on a short week to Jacksonville. Look, the road team on a Thursday night always is at a huge disadvantage. I don't care who you're playing. And the fact they're playing a team in Jacksonville that's playing with a lot of heart, and, you know, they beat a team in Indianapolis that most people think is very good, and they almost beat a team that was in the AFC title game last year on the road in Tennessee on Sunday. Jacksonville is a decent team. Not saying the world beaters, because they're not. They're a decent team. And if Miami loses that game, if they lose on Thursday and they're 0-3, and then you're coming home for Seattle, who's a great team, San Francisco, who's just in the Super Bowl, at the Broncos, that's just not going to be easy, then home against the Chargers and Rams, two, you know, very good teams again, you're looking at this Miami Dolphins season starting off with either 0, 1, or 2 wins in those first 8 games or so. That's inexcusable to me. With all the money they spent this offseason, with everything they did to reshape this roster, you know, I don't want to hear about the excuses anymore. As a fan of the Dolphins, we've been hearing excuses for 20 years, and there comes a time, even when some of the excuses are valid, you're just sick of hearing them. At some point, you just want to win games. Win games. I'm not even asking them to make the playoffs. I'm not even asking them to win a Super Bowl. Just win a few games. And Sunday's game is a game they should have won. It's a game they should have won. It really is. And to see them, you know, spit it up at home, which is what they did. They spat it up. They're up in the fourth quarter at home. And hand away the game, not good enough. Not good enough, not getting the job done. And that reflects on the head coach. Once again, a lot of positives with the head coach. Sunday wasn't his finest hour. It's just not. So we'll see where the team goes here this week. Once again, short week, game on Thursday. Hoping for the best. Hoping for the best. I think this is a winnable game. Devontae Parker said that, you know, he plans on playing in every game this year. He plans on playing. What's the exact quote? Let me get the exact quote once again. The Parker quote. Devontae Parker makes it clear that he has no intention of missing any games and he will play through a hamstring issue. Good. Good. That's the Parker I've been wanting to see, you know, every year so far. The guy who wants it. Show that desire. Show that heart. I'm going out there. I'm not 100%. Everything not perfect. I'm going to gut through it and try and go through it. Good for Parker. Expect to see him on the field on Thursday against Jacksonville. So that's good to see there. And I think on Thursday we'll continue to see this offense grow. I think, you know, those guys that we expect to make the plays, the Parkers, the Gesickis, and I'm going to throw in now Miles Gaskin. If those three guys continue to play like they've played the first 2 weeks of the year, I think this offense will get humming. I think they'll start putting up points like we saw against the Bills here this past Sunday where they put up 28 points. I think we'll see the offense start to get a rhythm as guys start to find themselves in more defined roles. The defense, though, just has to get better. I mean, we have a head coach who's known for his defensive mind. Find a way to fix it. Honestly. I wish I could tell you they have to do A, they have to do B, that'll fix it. I don't know. I think first things first, they have to play with more heart on that side of the ball. You watch that team, it just seems like they're a step slow, seems like they're one step behind, and it seems like they're not playing with any energy. And I think they have to get out there and play with heart, play with some passion. I know it sounds simplistic, and I wish I could give you some, you know, X and O personnel grouping or package. Yeah, this is what they need to do. This will work. Folks, they just need to play like their jobs depend on it. That's what they need to play like right now. They need to go out there and play better. We'll find out if they will have Elandon Roberts this week. Obviously, he had a rough week one, but having him available to play is only a plus because they need as many healthy bodies on that side of the ball as possible. So we'll see. But, you know, it's been this game on Sunday was frustrating in many ways. And now they have to do a quick turnaround here and go to Jacksonville. The season's not over by any means, but a loss on Thursday, boy, 0-3, going home to play Seattle, that's not where you want to be as an organization. It's just not. So hopefully the Miami Dolphins can turn around Thursday. Hopefully they can get a win, send us all into the weekend happy and smiling. I'll get that first win of the year on a national stage in front of the whole country. Be nice, but we'll see. Jacksonville's tough, and we will preview that game here as the week goes on up until Thursday. But I just sort of wanted to talk a little bit about this past Sunday's game again, as, you know, it's tough being a Dolphins fan, folks. Trust me, I know. I've been a Dolphins fan my whole life. I get it. And I know a lot of people who listen to this podcast are a lot younger than me these days, unfortunately, and you haven't gone through this as long as I have, but it's frustrating. It's been frustrating for 20 years. And, you know, it's just, at times, I get it. It's really frustrating, and I'm right there with you. But I think we also, as much as we can be upset at certain things, we also just have to understand that there's a lot of positives also taking place right now with the Dolphins, and also point them out so you don't totally go nuts. In closing, I also want to say, Manscaped, gentlemen. Grooming is not just with your hair anymore. You have to be groomed from head to toe. And when you need to be groomed from head to toe, you have to go to Manscaped. Manscaped is the place you need to be because you want to look good for your lady. You want to look good for her. You want to smell nice. You want to be groomed and trimmed. So she looks at you and goes, I'm glad he's with me. And if you go to Manscaped right now, go to their website, manscaped.com. Use the promo code Dolphins Talk, you can save 20% on all their products. And they have a ton of products that you will want, like the crop mop. If you don't know what the crop mop is, then folks, you're not living life. Honestly, the crop mop is the best thing for any man. And trust me, it's a product only for men. So you're going to want to use the crop mop. You're going to want the crop cleanser. Because if you're going to mop it up, you want to cleanse it. So you want to buy the crop cleanser. Some of these names are crazy. You can also buy the weed whacker, the lawnmower 2.0. If you got a little extra money, you can go with the lawnmower 3.0. Upgrade to the big stuff. But there's so many good products over there. They sell cologne. They sell foot deodorant to make sure your feet smell nice there on a hot summer day if you live in South Florida. They sell body wash and they sell anti-chafing deodorant for your junk. No, I'm just not going to mince words there. They have all that stuff at a very affordable price. But once again, if you use the promo code DolphinsTalk, save 20% off the price and do it. Buy it for yourself. And you got the holidays coming up. Maybe you have a brother. Maybe you have an in-law. Maybe you have a brother-in-law who, you know, you look at them and sometimes they don't smell the best or they look a little sloppy and messy. Buy it for them for the holidays. Slip it in their stocking. Give them that subtle hint. Hey, you got to work on yourself. Manscaped has it all. So go to Manscaped and use the promo code DolphinsTalk and save a little money there and buy some quality stuff. They also sell, boxer shorts. They also sell t-shirts. They got it all. They literally have it all. They even have mints. You can buy refreshing breath mints there, all at an affordable price. So check out manscaped.com. We'll have podcasts here the rest of the week. If you haven't already entered for your chance to win the Zach Thomas jersey from Fanatics, go to our website, go to my Twitter account at Dolphins Talk, enter to win. It's free to play, folks. You just have to do one thing and you get an entry to win a Zach Thomas jersey. Why wouldn't you want to win a Zach Thomas jersey that's worth over $100 in value? You still have about a little less than a month to enter, but don't wait. Go to my Twitter account at Dolphins Talk, click on the link and enter to win. What else do we got going on at the website? We're a podcast every day this week. We have a bunch of new articles up on the main page. If you want to buy anything from Fanatics, go to Fanatics and use the link on our website. If you use the link on our website, it does help us and give us a few pennies here to pay for some of the website server costs and all that stuff. So check that out there. And I think that's all I have for today's show. Everyone enjoy the rest of your Tuesday, and we'll talk to you again after a while.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.